Today I'll be teaching on the price for extraordinary results.
Welcome to a place absolutely conducive for the Holy Spirit. Experience intimacy, partnership, and fellowship. This is Koinonia.
We are going to ask God, because He is the cup that does not run dry. He is the fount of life. I want you to hold the hand of that person and say, oh God, tonight, fill us afresh. Pray it with desire. You are the cup that never runs dry. Are you praying? Overflow one, overflow two, overflow three. Feel me tonight, O God. Afresh, anew. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Esoto hole shiata. Ipregete moshe tebelegeleba. Ipregete moshe shata. Zepatoshko tebelegete shata. And so, Father, we say thank you for the privilege to come and drink of your river, to feast at your table. Mighty and everlasting God, we ask that you do something in our lives tonight that we will never recover from. Change our lives forever. Take us higher. Take us deeper and do what only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. If you know that God is going to fill you up in a way that you will never recover, I need you to shout and clap those hands to the glory of our God. Let's give him a shout. Hallelujah. Take your seats and let your neighbor know he's looking good, she's looking good. Hallelujah. 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 I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. On behalf of Apostle Joshua Selman, our father in the Lord, and the apostle over this commission, I would like to say welcome to everybody. For those of you, Overflow One, can I hear you shout hallelujah? Overflow Two, I know you can do better. Overflow Three, hallelujah to Jesus. Let's put our hands together for this great God. I'd like to welcome each and every one of us to yet another exciting time in the presence of God. This is Koinonia. Apostle sends his love all the way from Akwa Ibom. He has been ministering back to back in Enugu, I think on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then transitioning also to Akwa Ibom. He'll be there tomorrow. Wow. It's such a sacrifice to be used of God. The Bible says, how God anointed of Nazareth. He went He went.
The anointing will take you places. So. Amen. It's a privilege to bring God's word today. And I trust God that the same power, the same efficiency, the same spiritual vitality that is made available under the covenant and the covering of Apostle Joshua Selman will speak tonight. And the God that we serve will do us good. I thank the leadership. And I especially thank each and every one of you for making it to yet another powerful time in God's presence. Last week, Apostle taught us on spiritual stability from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58. I'm doing a brief recap. And he made us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And by the grace of God, Apostle taught us that the very first key, experiential revelation of God. An experiential revelation of God. And under that, he let us understand that to know God experientially, there are three things that must happen. For a Christian, for a believer to experience stability in his spiritual life, and indeed every area of his life, he must know God experientially. And for him to know God experientially, the first thing that must happen is that he must know God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21, one of the things that Pastor Gwenga was sharing with us, the word of God, as Apostle taught us last week, is a compendium of the sum total of the character of God, the ways of God. So if a person wants to experience God in an undeniable manner so that he can have spiritual stability, that person must know the word of God. And he said one of the things that the word of God does for us is that it brings us into a knowledge of the consistency of the character of God. I remember vividly one of the things he said is that if a person has been fellowshipping with Koinonia here in this house consistently, there are certain things he must know. Yes or no? We shall all, and the good thing is, if you don't know it, you are not a consistent member of this family. Amen. And when he said that, I remembered so many things. If you stand before Pharaoh without seeing, what will happen to you? So, there are certain things that you experience consistently that reveal the character of a person. Likewise, there are certain things that you will experience in God's word that you will know experientially that this is God. And you will know that this is not God. The Bible speaks about those who by reason of use have trained their senses to discern, to know. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 lets us know that there is a level your mind can be transformed and your bodies can be presented as a living sacrifice, that you will know what is the good, what is the acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. So a person that fellowships consistently with the word of God will know the character of God. Another thing that he said that must happen in a believer's life for him to say he knows God experientially is that that believer must belong to the family of believers. He said something that struck my heart. He said it's not enough to know or desire or long for the things of God. You must also desire and long for the house of God. I found it very instructive because we live in a day and a time when lawlessness and godlessness has arisen to a point that certain people are propagating that you can find God without coming to church. I was so happy when Apostle reminded us once again that there is a dimension of God you will never experience if you are not in the house of God, where two or three are gathered. Because some people say there is online church. But where two or three are gathered. You must belong to the family of faith. And he shared how that we can provoke one another to godliness simply by showing up in the house of God. This is something that really worked for me when I got born again. You know, there's a way when you just get born again, you throw yourself into the house of God. When you want to pull back, the people will say, "Brother, we didn't see you last week. What's the problem?" Especially if you get born again on campus, so they can track you to your room, track you to your hostel, track you to your class. You just say, look, I've repented, I've come back. And it encourages you. So you must belong to the family of believers if you want to know God experientially and if you want to achieve spiritual stability. The third thing he spoke to us on is that for you to know God experientially, then you must know God through your pain and your challenges. Through your pain and your challenges. From Psalm 107, verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 38. He taught us that pain forces us to prioritize and need God. It's so true. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." There's something about ease. You can easily forget God. Yes or no? That's why Paul speaking, he said, "Warn them that be rich." Because riches can provide ease. Say, when you have built houses, when you have eaten and are fat, do not forget the Lord your God. Pain and challenges compel you to remember God. If there's no food, it's easy to fast. Yes or no? If there's nothing to eat, fasting is automatic. But if there are assorted delicacies in your fridge, a private chef with different cuisine, all of a sudden, fasting can look laborious. If everybody abandons you, your house has become the secret place. Yes or no? If something happens to you and everybody abandons you, you are going to sing, "It's only you, Jesus. It's only you." Because truly, it is only. So pain has a way of making us prioritize God. All of a sudden, I was grateful for my pain. All of a sudden, I was grateful for challenges. All of a sudden, I realized that I could present my pain before God and he could give me beauty out of ashes. He could replace my mourning with the oil of gladness. And I realized that of a truth, the times I grew fastest in God were the times of greatest pain. Truly. Just as a personal example, I remember when I lost my mom in 2012. That was one of the darkest seasons of my life. But God told me he will shake everything so that what remains is what can't be shaken. Makoshkete, say stability. There is a way you will go through pain that you say, "I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able." Persuasion is a function of submitting your pain to God. I'm really looking forward to the part two of this series. And I'm looking forward to when Apostle will take us deeper into the things that guarantee spiritual stability. Bow your head very quickly and say, "Oh God, stabilize my life. All this moving from one place to another, changing my opinions, faulty convictions, stabilize my life." In Jesus' name we pray. Today I'll be teaching on the price for extraordinary results. The price for extraordinary results. I trust God that this teaching will challenge encourage and help us as God's children, as believers, as the body of Christ, everywhere, to understand and to engage a methodical, biblical, and practical approach to achieving uncommon, extraordinary results. At the end of this teaching, you will be challenged. You will be encouraged. You will be helped to know, understand, and engage the scriptural methods and practical approaches to achieving uncommon, extraordinary results. Why is it necessary that we pursue or study this subject of extraordinary results? Why? Very quickly, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. One of the reasons why we must study this subject of extraordinary results is because our God is an extraordinary God. Tell your neighbor, say, my God is an extraordinary God. Everything about God is extraordinary. Everything about God is exceeding. Everything about God is surpassing. Everything about God is uncommon. Our God is exceedingly extraordinary. How do I know? He makes exceedingly great and extraordinary promises. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. I choose to replace it with what? Extraordinary and precious promises. Our God is an extraordinary God. We can tell because the promises he makes to us are extraordinary. And the Bible clearly states that by reason of those promises, the purpose is that we will be what? Partakers of that same divine nature. What nature is that? Extraordinary nature. Another reason why I know that my God is exceedingly extraordinary, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. My God is an extraordinary God. He makes extraordinary promises by which I can become a partaker of that same extraordinary nature. Another reason why I know that God is indeed extraordinary is that he supplies exceeding great and extraordinary grace. Exceeding great and extraordinary grace with faith and love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. Another reason why I know that my God is indeed extraordinary. Another reason why I know my God is indeed extraordinary is because my God gives exceedingly great and extraordinary power. The first is promise, so I know he's extraordinary. The second is that even in his power is what? Extraordinary. Exceedingly great. The Bible says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward who? Toward who? I thought you would personalize it. Towards who? Me. Because I can't speak for you. Because not all Christians are extraordinary. The Bible says that God has made available exceeding great and extraordinary power to us who believe, according to the working of that same mighty power. So he makes extraordinarily exceeding great promises. He has exceedingly great extraordinary power. He supplies exceedingly great extraordinary grace with faith and love. That should be 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14. How we know that we serve an exceedingly great and extraordinary God. The Bible says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding our what? With what? And what? Love, which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. So my God is an extraordinary God. He makes extraordinary promises. He supplies extraordinary love. And he gives extraordinary what? Power. Extraordinary power. Another reason why I know that my God is an extraordinary God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. He gives exceeding great and extraordinary joy. 1 Peter 4 and 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are what? Partakers. Are you seeing that word again? Partakers of what? Christ's suffering. Meaning that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of persecution pertaining to Christ, let no man trouble me, for I bear on me the what? The marks of Christ. Even in the midst of that suffering, something should be evident in your life. What is that? That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may also be glad with what? Extraordinary joy. What part of God is ordinary? So even in the face of challenges, there should still be an element of extraordinary joy. A God who supplies extraordinary joy, a God who supplies extraordinary love, faith, and grace, a God who makes extraordinary promises, a God who makes available to us extraordinary power. To what end, people of God? What is the purpose of all of this? That we may achieve what? Extraordinary results. And when this God chooses to act, meaning he supplies to you extraordinary joy, he promises you with extraordinary promises, he makes available to you extraordinary grace, extraordinary faith, extraordinary love. And when he now wants to act on your behalf, now not the things he has given you, when he now wants to perform on your behalf, how does he do it? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to, let's read it together, do. Stop. He has given you promises. He has supplied you power. He has supplied you grace. He has supplied you extraordinary faith, that you may be partakers of his divine extraordinary nature. When he now wants to act on your behalf, the Bible says that he does it exceedingly, abundantly, extraordinarily, above all that we may what? Ask or think. Question: is our God ordinary? Is our God ordinary? Why does he do all this? Because that is who he is. I am a man. I cannot but behave like a man. I have never known how not to be a man. Our God is extraordinary. At no point has he ever been able to be less than extraordinary. When he humbled himself and said, okay, let me try to be ordinary, and he came in the form of a man as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in his most ordinary state, he was most extraordinary. They say, what manner of man is this? So when you try to tell God, can you be humble? He said, look at Jesus Christ of Nazareth. My greatest humility is that when people are hungry, I feed 5,000. At the height of my humility, when there was no lack, sorry, when there was lack and there were challenges, the least I could do was to feed how many? Say extraordinary resource. Even at a wedding, if they tell you to feed 5,000 people at your wedding, you will shake, yes or no? Even if you have the money, the logistic implications. Tell your neighbor, say, my God is extraordinary. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Why all this? It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. Fear not, Abraham. Meaning, what's the challenge, Abraham? Calm down. God appeared to Abraham. He said, Abraham, do like this. Tell your neighbor, say, do like this. Say, that house rent, do like this. That husband that has not yet appeared, do like this. That contract, do like this. That car that is breaking down, disgracing you, do like this. That terminal condition, do like this. Say, fear not, Abraham. I bring the word of God to someone specifically. Everything compelling you to be afraid, I introduce this extraordinary God to your situation. He said, I am your shield and your exceeding great, extraordinary reward. Tell your neighbor, say, I have and I serve an extraordinary God. Say it again. Say, I have and I serve an extraordinary God. If you want to clap, you can clap. This passage of scripture has been a personal rhema to my life for years. Anything that wants to shake me, I introduce them to my exceeding great reward. God is our exceeding great and extraordinary reward. He appeared to Abraham in this dimension, and as a result, Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. Let's see what happens when God reveals himself to you as an extraordinary God. He says, and Abraham, years after he was afraid, what was happening? He was old and well stricken in age. Let's read it together. And the Lord had blessed in what? In what? In what? Yabakatosko tole barikate. And Ejimi was old. Hey, I thought you would put your name there. And well stricken in age. So who wants to kill you? Who wants to kill you? Who wants to kill you? Epatoske tele barianda galakataya. When you have a shield, do you know what a shield is? A shield receives the impact of injury on your behalf. When something is coming to attack you, you place your shield and the shield faces the impact. Let everything attacking me face God. Bluetooth from your village, it hits God. They take your name to a herbalist. They say, bring his picture. They see God. Hey, hey. My life is hid in Christ, and Christ is hid in God. Go and look for it. So you can't die young. You can't die before your time. Except you've not caught this revelation. And the Lord had blessed Abraham. Abraham was of age. He was old. He had lived long. He looked around, and he couldn't find an area of his life that he was not blessed in. It reminds me of Job, when Satan came and testified about Job, and he told God, he said, "Have you not placed a hedge? I have tried everything." This is a possibility in God. So because God appeared to Abraham in this dimension, Abraham had extraordinary results. As a result of this, Genesis chapter 26, 12 to 14. Genesis 26, 12 to 14. It's not only Abraham that enjoyed extraordinary results. His son Isaac had extraordinary results. So extraordinary that kings and nobles acknowledged it. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. Tell your neighbor, say extraordinary results. For those of you who are in overflow 1, 2, and 3, we apologize because of the constraints of the weather. The Lord will honor your sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next verse. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Again, you are going to put your name. And who? Ejimi waxed great and went forward and grew until Ejimi became very great. Let's look at verse 26 to 30. His results were so extraordinary. Genesis 26, 26 to 30. And Abimelech was the king of the Egyptians, went to him from Gerar and Ahuzat, one of his friends, and Philcor, the chief captain. Abimelech is a title of a king. It's the name of a king, like Emir or Oba. And Isaac said unto them, he says, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing that you hate me?" You see that now. Isaac had left these people because they hated him. And all of a sudden, Isaac just woke up after he had an hundredfold harvest. And all of a sudden, this king and his chief captain of the army shows up. And Isaac is like, what are you doing in my house? Are you not supposed to be my enemy? He says, "You hated me and you sent me away from you." Next verse. And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, because God is with you, let there now be an oath between us, and let us make a covenant with you." The people that hated him, because God has spoken to his father Abraham, he says, "I will bless them that, and I will curse them that." And all of a sudden, he will say, "Hey, this man that we sent away, we are facing the heat. He is experiencing extraordinary results. Please, can we have a spiritual agreement? We are sorry we hated you. Can we benefit from the blessing upon your life?" God is going to give someone extraordinary results that will make all those that mocked you come to benefit from you. If you believe it, shout amen. The dimension of God that was revealed to Abraham was so powerful that his son experienced extraordinary results. His grandson Jacob, same thing. Genesis 30 and 27. Genesis chapter 30, we look at verse 27. Then we look at verse 43. His grandson Jacob had extraordinary results. So extraordinary that the nobles also acknowledged it. And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, Jacob, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me, Laban, because of you, Jacob." Have you ever seen where an employer is begging his employee? Because you serve a God of extraordinary results. Have you ever seen where a lecturer is begging his student? Because the student serves an extraordinary God. He said, "I have learned by experience that my blessing is tied to your extraordinary God." I pray for you. By this prophetic word, I pray that extraordinary results will vindicate you in the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, 39 to 40. Hebrews 11, 39 to 40. So we see that our God is an extraordinary God. And when he revealed himself in this dimension to Abraham, when Abraham caught that revelation, he started experiencing extraordinary results. His son, Isaac, same thing, to the point that nobles and kings attested to it. His grandson, same thing. And Hebrews 11, 39 says, and these all there being, this is the account of Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. It says, and these all, meaning Abraham, meaning Isaac, meaning Jacob, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Next verse. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, these fathers of faith, without ejimi, makosh kete, what they experienced is not perfect. Until me too, I experience my own. Makosh kete belegede yania kataya. No wonder the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 39 that we are come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. They are watching. They are saying, will Sir Promise enter into this dimension and perfect what I experienced? Makosh kete. A greater than Solomon. And you say I should be ordinary? Yes, sir. How, sir? Extraordinary joy, extraordinary faith, extraordinary love, extraordinary power, extraordinary promises from an extraordinary God that does exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. And a man called Abraham chose to believe that this God is his shield and his exceeding great reward. And his generations experienced extraordinary results. And the Bible is now saying what they received is not even a better promise. That without me, they can't be perfected. Makosh kete. Tell your neighbor, tap him, say, I'm not ordinary. I have and I serve an extraordinary God. Hallelujah. Bow your head very quickly. Every dimension of result you have ever seen from every father of faith in the scripture, if it is the favor that followed Esther, if it is the favor that followed David, if it is the favor that followed Abraham, if it is extraordinary insight like Daniel, if it is extraordinary strength like Samson, if it's extraordinary beauty like Esther, the Bible says, they without you cannot be made perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Extraordinary results are undeniable, notable, surpassing, irresistible results. It's undeniable. It is inexplicable. It is surpassing. It is irresistible results, usually produced at the most unlikely times by the most unlikely people. That's what makes it extraordinary. That God can commission a great work in Zaria. That K-strings can sing a song from Zaria and it will echo all around the world. That's extraordinary. For some of you, Koinonia is a ministry and a commission that you came into when it had been perfected. I am shocked at how God started with apostle and has made something extraordinary out of his life. And God is making something extraordinary out of the lives of each and every person that chooses to believe that God sent apostle to their life. In the words of apostle, who dash monkey banana? I'm speaking now. People are hearing me from over 45 nations. Who dash monkey banana? Tell your neighbor, say extraordinary results. I trust that God will do something in your life tonight that will be notable, undeniable, irresistible, surpassing, inexplicable, in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1-4. Extraordinary light in the midst of darkness. Extraordinary provision, supply, abundance in the midst of recession. Extraordinary David in the midst of Goliath. Extraordinary Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the land of Babylon. That's what makes it extraordinary. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. We'll read 3 then 4. And the Gentiles shall come to your what? Light. Extraordinary. If they don't come, it's not yet extraordinary. Ahimelech came because the results were extraordinary. Laban confessed because the results were extraordinary. If you read further down, verse 30 of that, Genesis 30, verse 1, it goes on to say there that Laban's sons, who were stupid, not like their father. Their father said, I have learned by experience that God blessed you because of me. But the sons were jealous. Instead of the sons to come and say, sorry, oh, brother, how are you doing it? Because Isaac was so wealthy. They say, you've taken all of our father's prosperity away. Whereas the father said, my prosperity is tied to your God. And that's what always happens to proud people. Because they were seeing Jacob as Laban's slave. Colleague mentality. If you see extraordinary results in the life of somebody close to you, humble yourself and say, sorry, sir, how are you doing it? Pride has killed many people. Pride has done what? Suffering. Yet the solution to your problem is at hand. I remember the day I realized that God had sent apostle into my life to change my life forever. He stopped being a friend. He started being a father. But that's a story for another day. Gentiles come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Next verse. Lift up your eyes round about. This is God speaking to somebody. He says, see, all they gather themselves, they come to you. If it doesn't happen like this, then it's not extraordinary. There's something apostle used to say. He said, Gentiles come when you have light. Kings come when that light is bright. The nobles and the kings don't just come because there's light. They come because it is extraordinary. Matthew 5 verse 16, Jesus admonishing, he said, let your light so shine. Let your results be so extraordinary that men may see your good works and give glory to that extraordinary Father. Who wants their life to be a source of glory to God? If men are doubting that there is a great God, do you want your life to be proof that God is great? This is Jesus speaking. So how then can I experience this extraordinary result? Or should I call it light? Light in the midst of darkness. Let's read from verse 1. There is something that happened that made the kings to come. There is something that happened that made the Gentiles to come. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. It says, arise, shine. It's an instruction. It's a commandment. So what is God saying to you? Arise. Be extraordinary. It is that light that will draw them. Their coming is proof that you are truly extraordinary. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This is God speaking. Why? Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So it is a divine setup. God himself is the one that is supervising this darkness. Because man is proud. They can talk anyhow. Pharaoh was talking anyhow until God made darkness to come on Egypt. When that darkness came, Pharaoh said, okay, it's time. I now know. One of the reasons why God will allow recession is because if there's no recession, people will not know he's Jehovah Jireh. If the economy is booming and your job is giving you consistent income, you may credit it to the economy. But if there's a recession and they sack everybody and they don't sack you, you will know that there is truly an extraordinary God. Or if they sack you and God opens another door, that at the end of 1 year, you spent more than your salary and you are not owing, you will now know that truly, our God is indescribable. His name is Let me tell you, when I realized this, I started to appreciate darkness. If there was no recession, Joseph would never have been heralded as the savior of the whole world. Yes or no? It was 7 years of famine that showed that Joseph was extraordinary. It was Goliath laying siege on Israel that showed that David was extraordinary. That is why when men say there is a casting down, it is ripe. It is the set time for us to say that there is a lifting up. If there is no darkness, how will my light shine? This is God speaking. So, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So, my ability to produce extraordinary results is dependent on the light that comes to me. Because I want to rise, I want to shine. But do I have light? Apostle says it all the time. It's not enough to desire greatness. We must know the laws, the mysteries that we can engage. Next verse. 60 verse 2. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Meaning that as that darkness is covering the earth, if you don't have light, what will happen to you? The darkness will do what? Swallow you. But there's still an instruction that you should do what? Rise and you should shine. What then is light? Amen? Because extraordinary results are tied to light coming and the glory of God rising upon us. As I studied upon this, God showed me something. The verse before Isaiah 60 verse 1 is Isaiah 59 verse 21. Let's look at it intricately. Because we are exploring the price for extraordinary results. So, immediately after Isaiah 59 verse 21 is Isaiah 60 verse
1. I hope you know the Bible was not written originally as chapters. It was arranged this way when the canonization and compilation was done, and then King James authorized them to arrange it sequentially so we can track. So we are viewing this as one statement. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed. Are you seeing that this is what happened with Abraham? A revelation that came to him that benefited Isaac and benefited Jacob. Saith the Lord from henceforth and forever. It now goes to verse 60 and 1. As a result, arise, shine. So what is light? What is light? To understand what light is, we must understand what God is speaking in Isaiah 59 and verse 21. But as for me, this is my covenant, saith the Lord. I want you to write covenant. Number one, covenant. These are key words. As for me. Let's focus on 59 verse 21 and just leave it there for a while. I'm going to show you a powerful mystery that will guarantee you extraordinary results. As for what? Me. This is my what? Covenant. If you are the type that underlines your Bible, you can underline as for me. Then you can underline what? Covenant. Said the Lord. My spirit. Underline spirit. That is upon you. And my words, which I have put in your mouth. So, underline my words. And then let's also look at your mouth. It won't depart out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of your seed's seed, henceforth and forever. Underline seed, and then underline seed's seed. We are doing investigative forensic Bible study. Because extraordinary results cannot come ordinarily. Yes or no? So, as I pondered and I studied upon this, one of the things that God made me understand is look at his communication in 59 verse 21. He says, but as for me. Meaning, God has his perspectives. Left to me, this is God speaking. Meaning, forget what you are going through. You know when they are talking and they are asking people, sorry, sir, promise, what's your opinion? Sir Kenny, what's your opinion? Pastor Femi, what's your opinion? Sir Ima, what's your opinion? Then God to now say, sorry, oh, as for me. Powerful revelation. That means that every circumstance in my life, God has his opinion. So, men that will achieve extraordinary results are men that know God and God's secrets. Men that do what? Know God. They don't just know him. They know his secrets. They know his perspectives. They know his opinion. Our generation is full of people who know what the media is saying. People who know what government is saying. People who know what politicians are saying. People who know what the economy is saying. But people that do not know what God is saying. I remember one day I went to Apostle's house and he told me something I have never recovered from that statement. He said, Ejimi, the ability to hear God is an asset in life. I went to him and I thought about it. That if all you have in this life is the ability to hear God, you are already extraordinary. Meaning, if they ask God, oh God, what is your opinion on this matter? He says, ask Ejimi. He knows me to such a point that he knows how to find out what I want. How many people can look and say, I know God's opinions? You know, it's one thing to say you know God. It's another thing to know his perspectives, to know his opinions, to know his secrets. Apostle calls this ability or these things mysteries. Yes or no? Mysteries. As for me, so God has an opinion. God has an opinion. Let's look at certain scriptures very quickly. The Bible says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to do what? To search it out. The secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. So, every time God wants to express something, he will first conceal it. No wonder many people say many things, but God's opinion is not clearly known, because God does what? Conceals. So a person who will experience extraordinary results is someone who has mastered the art of searching out what God concealed. The Bible is saying categorically that the ability to search out what God has revealed makes you a king. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. Proverbs 25 verse 2. It is the honor of kings to search it out. So once I can search out something God has concealed, I become a king. Once I become a king, I receive honor. Hey, yabakotos kotole manda gadagaya. He katosh ketele bari katesha namakataye. I remember those days, Apostle. Years ago, 2002, 2003, Apostle would be sitting on a chair beside Sunday school building. He's not praying. He's not studying. He's just sitting. Hatos ketele ba. Waiting. Waiting. Because it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. My brother, my sister, the thing you are looking for is concealed. Search it out. Which is why you discover that as you start to know the things of God and you start to grow in your intimacy with God, people naturally start following you. Because you are becoming a what? A king. A king has leaders. And he has followers. Yes or no? Before you know it, you start to experience a domain of influence. Before you know it, honor starts to come to your life. So a person that will experience extraordinary results is somebody who knows God and knows his secrets. Jesus took his disciples up to the Mount Transfiguration. And he revealed a dimension to them, only three of them, yes or no? He changed and showed them his glorified state. And then they saw Moses, and they saw Elijah, and they saw Jesus in his transfigured state. And all of a sudden, Peter can boldly come and say, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He looked and he said, I know what I saw. Paul looked, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly call. What do you know about God that nobody else knows? I think it's Daniel 33 verse 3 that says, they that know their God shall be strong and do extraordinary things. As for me, what can you stand and beat your chest and say, let me tell you, as for God, this is his opinion on the matter. He concealed it, but I searched it out. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed. So we now know that they are not just revealed. They are what? Searched. So those things which are sought out belong unto who? And to who? Ah. Can you see this great God? Are you seeing this seed again? So Abraham searched out a dimension and Isaac just entered into that. That's how I know that we will all be great. The slow ones is your children that will make you great. Because they cannot hear these truths and their lives will not remain the same. He says the things that are revealed are unto us and to our children. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Then we look at Job 29 verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and what? Stewards of the what?
Mysteries of God.
So how does a man experience extraordinary results when he becomes a steward of divine mysteries? So you can't experience extraordinary results except you know God and you know his secrets. To know God's secrets, you must encounter him. To encounter him, you must seek him. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. The Bible says, ask and you shall seek and you shall. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you seek him with what? All your heart and all your soul. Job 29 verse 4. He says, oh, that I was in the days of my youth. When the what? Secret of God. Makosh kete. Do you see why the devil came and said, I tried to hurt Job. Do you remember in Job chapter 1 that Satan went to meet God and he said, I tried everything, but you placed a what? Hedge around him. Job is now telling us what produced that hedge. Oh, I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. That's why sometimes miracle service, when apostle tells them to bring the prayer request, he places them here. He lies on it and then he sings, my altar is calling you, oh God. My secret place is calling you, oh God. My sacrifice is calling you, oh God. My hunger is calling you, oh God. Let me tell you, some of you are doing Christianity. Some of you are playing church. Others are seeking God. Some of you are wearing tie, suit, Italian shoe, jumping from conference to convention. Others are simply doing what? Seeking God.
Through desire, a man, having separated himself, intermeddled with all wisdom. How will I have extraordinary results when I don't seek God? When I can't beat my chest and say, on top of this particular issue, this is what God is saying. Precious saints, people of God, those listening to us online, take the place of your secret place very seriously. Go and get Apostle's message, the secret place. Listen to it over and over and over again. Secrets are revealed in the secret place. Secrets are revealed in the what? Secret place. I use a very explicit example, but we are all adults here. A man can kiss his wife in public, yes or no? Will a sane man sleep with his wife in public? So how do you expect God to commit the deep things to you in public? All you will receive in public are just kisses, pecks. Intimacy takes place in the secret place. Hey, tatosh ketele mandaladaya. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. I wait on you.
I wait on you.
The secret place, verse 5, Job 29 5. The next verse, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, so I created a tabernacle where the secrets of God can find expression. As a consequence, the Almighty was yet with me. Zepole barikataya, because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, when he leaves, the shadow of the Almighty is following him, because he abides there.
As a result, next verse, look at this extraordinary result. When I washed my steps with butter, and the rocks poured me out rivers. So like Moses, he went to the rock. He said, rock. Others don't know. Because in Job 28, he said, there is a path that the vulture has not seen. The lion's whelp does not know it. But my tabernacle revealed a secret to me. Rock produce oil. Hey, and the rock said, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can you establish dominion on the earth? Never joke with a man that has a secret place. The secrets of God are upon that tabernacle. Go back and cultivate the habit of the secret place. If someone is my friend, I'll be laughing and jokingly tell him things. Yes or no? Every time I go and spend some time with Apostle, he talks to me and he reveals certain things to me. Not that he planned to, but we have a history of friendship. God came and he said, how will I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and not tell my friend Abraham? We are friends. And all of a sudden, when he told Abraham, Abraham started negotiating for a city. A man's secret place. That means there are some people that can negotiate for Nigeria and bring Nigeria out of recession. That means David Dan can go to the secret place. Sambulus can go to the secret place. And God shows them a song they are singing in heaven. And the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. And one song takes you to the ends of the earth. And your children's children benefit. As for me, this is my covenant. Sit down for a bit. To know God's secrets, you must encounter him. To encounter him, you must seek him. And to seek him, you must love him. You must love him. If not, spending time with him will be laborious. John chapter 20. I'll show you a story. John chapter 20. Walk with me, people. Because I want to show you how secrets are revealed. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early. I thought people go to work on the first day of the week. I thought people go to seek for what to eat. But on the first day of the week, a woman came early while it was yet dark. While it was yet, while men slept. Somebody knows that nighttime is the time where seeds are planted. Whether divine seeds or devilish seeds. Job tells us of how God seals instructions at night. Unto the sepulchre and see the stone taken away. Next verse. If you catch what I share today, it says, then she does what? Runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Watch this. So she's coming very early to seek for God. And then she runs and says, I won't seek alone. I won't seek alone because I realize that there may be days when my strength grows weak. So I will find another person who is a seeker like me, who is a God chaser like me, and say, let us go and find this God. I remember those days when we would stay in the room, even if I don't want to pray, Apostle is praying, Prophet Janfa is praying, so I have to pray. Who are your kingdom seekers? Who is in your kingdom community of passionate seekers? Because extraordinary results come to those who seek. And sometimes you may need to partner with someone to seek. So, identify people like you that are crazy about extraordinary results. Mark them. The Bible says, mark them. Watch this. She came to them and said, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And we know not where they have laid him. She came and said, I'm sorry, yo. I
I can't find Jesus. So they came together. They came to the sepulchre. Next verse. Watch this, people of God. He says, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Look at men seeking. But it was a woman that started the seek. Hey, Rabo Shetebelekede Barakata. Next verse. Then Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre. Watch this. Let's jump to verse 9 and 10. Okay, verse 8. It says, they went in also, that other disciple, which came to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. This is very instructive. They came to seek together. So one entered and said, okay, they believed. Okay, let's go home. So a certain group of people found what they were seeking and they left. 30-fold. Remember the story of the sower? Yes, who went out to sow? Yes, he sowed on good soil. Some produced 30. Some produced 60. Some produced 100. Because we don't all have the same hunger. But we can all seek. Say the disciples went away again unto their own home. I don't blame them. They are men. And sometimes as a man, you have bills to pay. You have things to do. Yes or no? So you go back because you believed. That's okay. But a woman said, no. I didn't come just to believe. I'm not just a believer. Verse 11. But Mary stood. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. Mary stood and she wept. She wept. You can't seek a God you don't love. She didn't come to just know that scripture has been fulfilled. She said, no, I'm crying. Watch this, verse 12. Because she stood, she saw what the others did not see. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness. And see yet how many? Two angels. The realm of the spirit is open. The secrets and the mysteries of God are revealed to those who wait. You want to see the heavens open above you. You want to see angels. You want to see encounters, visitations. You want to see secrets and mysteries. Can you stay? Some people believe on the strength of scripture. Others believe on the strength of encounters. Next verse. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? That's why sometimes you see some of us worshiping and crying. I want to see your face. I want to know your grace. I want to touch your grace. So I can be your next. I want to see you. Just the way you are. I want to see you. I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your ways. So I can lead your days. I want to see you. Woman, why weepest thou? Her response has not changed. The same thing she said to her fellow disciples, she said it to angels. I don't care that you are an angel. I didn't come for encounter with angels. I asked a man, can I see this Jesus? Where is he? The man couldn't answer. I stayed, angels showed up. I say, it's not you I'm looking for.
Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned back. I'm not here for angels. I'm here for Jesus. And she saw Jesus standing. You need to understand, Jesus had just died. He was not supposed to come back and see anybody. He was the high priest going with his blood to perform the sacrifice of eternity. But a woman's hunger brought him back. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who am I that I can call in my secret place and the extraordinary God will show up? And many of you are wasting that privilege. Sit down for a minute. God is encountering people. Next verse, what is? Jesus said unto her, having seen that this woman's hunger, she will not go. Jesus told the angels, wait, I will resolve this matter myself. This is a woman that out of whom seven demons were cast. Jesus cast out seven demons. And the Bible says, he that has been forgiven much will love much. This is a woman that broke the alabaster box. 1 year's wages. Because she loves him. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. Despised by the whole town. But hunger changed her story. And made her the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. What is man that you are mindful of him? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, because Jesus had resurrected, so his form had changed. So she didn't even know that this is who she was looking for.
Yes, sir.
She had that picture of Jesus, but he had resurrected. When you seek God, you will find more than what you are seeking for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. Is it glory? Is it fame? Is it results? They will come. He first called her woman. He wasn't authorized to disclose his identity to anybody. Because he was the high priest on a mission. But look at what she said. She said, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. And this time around, when I get him, I will make sure that nobody will ever take him away from me. Say, I will personally take him away. A dead body. How can you change my life and I won't serve you?
I'll forever be chasing after you.
When she said it, the God of love, the God who is love, was so touched. He said, I have to reveal my glorified identity to this.
this woman.
This hunger is too much.
Jesus said unto her, he didn't call her woman. He called her what?
Mary.
Instantly, katose baliketeshetea. Rabboni! Rabboni! Watch this, next verse. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. That means as she saw him, she ran. But the high priest cannot be touched by a sinner. He will defile the high priest. So he said, no. Forget that I am here. I am still on
assignment. Your love brought me.
Hey, Tate Shataya. Jesus, you love me too much, oh.
Too much, oh, excess love.
Jesus, you love me too much, oh.
Too much, oh, excess love.
You love me too much, oh.
Too much, oh, excess love.
Will you seek this God? Because in seeking him, he will redefine your identity. Watch what happened. As a result, he said, go to my brethren. Those people who couldn't stay and seek like you, now that you have received a dimension of me, go. When I sent you, lackest thou anything? A woman's pursuit gave her a lifetime commission. Jesus. Waiting makes you an interpreter. Waiting makes you a messenger. It gives you a message. Because the God you encounter will send you. You will be his witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost ends of the world. If the uttermost ends of the world hears you, is that not extraordinary? But it starts with waiting. Seeking. Waiting builds intimacy. The Father starts to call you by your name. You start to call him by his pet name. Rabboni. Rabboni. Master. So when people are trying to cast out devils and they're saying in Jesus' name, you just go and you look and you say, leave. And the devil doesn't hear leave. The devil says, that dimension of God that you just invoked, I cannot stay. Will you seek God like never before? Will you just love upon him? Will your love for him compel him to reveal a dimension of himself to you? Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you start to receive extraordinary results. Waiting opens you up to spiritual realities. It furnishes you with a message for the world. It reveals a unique dimension of God to you that only you and those who can pay the price like you will ever know. Ephesians 3 and verse 10, to the intent that through the church the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to principalities and powers. So the multifaceted dimensions of God has been authorized by the church to be revealed. But it is the dimension that you press and seek in love. So everybody on earth that wants to experience that dimension, God will bring them to you or to any other person that paid the price to seek. And sadly, not all believers will wait. Some will go back. God will now send you back to those who couldn't wait. Can you wait on God this evening? So you must know God and you must know his secrets. You must know God and you must know his secrets. I'm seeing like refiner's fire. Refiner's fire. I'm seeing like refiner's fire. And that is the refiner's fire that is purging distractions that stop men from seeking God. In 1 minute, we are going to pray. You are going to lift up your voice and you are going to cry to God and say, every distraction, every weight impeding my pursuit of God, I let it go today. Begin to pray it. The cares of this life, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will put on. Let's go,
Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord, and light me, Lord.
Fire,
light me, Lord.
Fire,
light me, Lord.
Fire,
light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Fire,
light me,
Lord.
Fire,
and so, Father, let your fire sweep through this place. Lord, you died for us that we may know you. Fall again on that altar. Three ladies is a strange intercessory ability. It's supernatural. You could pray for hours. Let fire fall again. Fire! Fire! At a particular point in time, Elisha was seeing a reality that Gehazi was not seeing. And Elisha knew that if Gehazi does not see what Elisha is seeing, that partnership, that fellowship cannot continue. Are you with me? Because Gehazi's unbelief would limit Elisha's performance. I hear the Lord saying, seeing eyes and hearing ears.
Some of you have not been able to keep up with what God is doing because your spiritual faculty is dim. I'm seeing like a hand, the hand of the Almighty stretching forth and touching the eyes and the ears of people, and it's like fire in your ears, fire in your eyes, and it's causing fire on your tongue. Where are they, oh God? Fire! Seeing eyes, hearing ears. It's coming upon someone in the worship team. And I'm seeing the ability to hear songs from heaven. Songs from heaven. Songs from heaven. It's coming upon some people in the worship team. We are at the foot of the cross. Everything Jesus died for is taking effect in our lives. Seeing eyes and hearing ears. Like fire, 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 like fire. I see two men of God in this place. You pastor a walk. You lead a flock. And I'm seeing that even five of you following us online. And there has been scarcity of revelation. I'm seeing like a scroll on fire descending from heaven. And the Lord says that scroll is waiting for you in your secret place. As you go back by this prophetic word, let the scroll of fire be upon your lips in the name of Jesus. As we sing that song, listen to me. I'm seeing literally a person on fire. Fire. Kenny, I'm seeing an envelope of fire. You know what Yoruba people call alagbada ino? Agbada ino. Like a rope on fire. As we sing that song, that fire will sweep across this place. And it is fire for your secret place. I'm seeing it upon you. One last prayer based on what I'm seeing. Time will fail us. The first thing to do is to know God and to know His secrets. But the second thing, from the book of Isaiah chapter 59 verse 21, where we were reading, God was speaking there. He said, as for me,
this is my covenant
with them. Time will fail us. I will have taught us that the second step to extraordinary results is that you must understand covenants and the laws, principles, and statutes that make them work. Time will fail me. I would have spoken about the four types of covenant that God revealed to me. Eternal or creation covenants. These are covenants that are tied to the ordinances of heaven. God instituted them in Genesis when He commanded the light to rule. I will have spoken about the covenants of fathers. The first is eternal and creative covenants. If you look at Jeremiah chapter, I think it's 35, where God was speaking and He's saying, the covenant I have with the day and the covenant I have with the night. Because at creation, He set up covenants. Perpetual covenants. Time will fail me. If not, I would have expounded on them. Jeremiah 33, 20 and 21. So there are four types, and this prayer point is tied to it. That's why I'm explaining it. There are perpetual covenants. Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. So when He created the earth, God made covenants. He made a covenant with the sun. A covenant is simply a mechanism, a divine mechanism that sustains predictable outcomes. This is different from Apostle's definition of covenant as systems of agreement and authorization between two or more personalities ratified by blood that has mutual beneficial consequences if obeyed, benefits if obeyed, and consequences if broken. That's covenant with individuals. But there are covenants that God made with the elements of creation. He told the sun, you will rule by day. He entered a covenant with the moon, you will rule by night. So by reason of that system, He doesn't have to supervise their daily performance. A man who will achieve extraordinary results is a man that has mastered the art of invoking covenants, laws, principles to sustain his success, whether or not he acts. As long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. So harvest is tied to the covenant of the earth remaining. He now said, if my covenant of the day and of the night cannot be broken, then the covenant with my servant David. I'm going to give a prayer point. That's why I need you to have this understanding before we pray. So they are what we call perpetual covenants or creation covenants. They are what we call covenant of the fathers. Covenant of the fathers. Let me just show you very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 5. When you see a man rise up and achieving extraordinary results, covenants are backing him. And Moses called all of them and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments. Verse 2, watch this. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Next verse. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers. So they are covenant of fathers. But with us, even us, all of us who here are alive today. So they are covenant with men that are dead. Yes or no? Thank God we just finished the mystery of deliverance. And that is what I mean when I say covenant of fathers. And there are two types. They are the covenant of the fathers of faith. These are divine covenants. The type of covenant that Abraham entered into, that Jacob slept and the heavens opened, because there was a covenant of a father of faith. This is why we have learned not to criticize the body of Christ, because you don't know what covenant that father of faith has with God. If David had a covenant with God, if Abraham had a covenant with God, you really think that some of our fathers of faith don't have covenants with God? Extraordinary results are gotten on the strength of covenants. A covenant is a divine mechanism enforced and created to produce, sustain, and guarantee consistent results with or without your participation. There are under the covenant of the fathers, you have fathers of faith, then you have the covenant of the fathers of ancestry and territory. A father of territory can enter into a covenant, and that covenant will produce an outcome in your life that you are not even aware of. But we thank God that Apostle has shared and has delivered us. But I need you to understand this, because God was saying, as for me, this is my covenant with them. So the reason why we can rise and we can shine is because there is a covenant. A man who will have extraordinary results is a man that understands covenants. By laws, by statutes, by principles, when you behave in a particular way consistently, watch this, your thoughts determine your actions. Your actions determine your results. As such, if you consistently think in a particular way and you consistently behave in a particular way, the spirit entity responsible for that kind of behavior will assume you want to enter a covenant with him. The intent that through the church the manifold wisdom of God will be made known unto principalities and powers. So they are watching. The fathers of faith are watching. Hebrews 12:23, when we come to Mount Zion, we see many individuals present there. The Bible says that the spirits of just men, they are there. Innumerable company of angels, they are there. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, is there. So you see, some of these musicians, when they act in a particular way, when they smoke weed in a particular way, they are invoking the spirit entity responsible for that manifestation. If they do it consistently, one day they will enter a covenant with that spirit. Remember the story of Judas, consistently greedy, consistently stealing. Then one day he stole 30 pieces of shekel to betray Jesus. And Jesus gave him the last opportunity to repent. He said, the person that I will dip this bread in and give him to eat, that's the person that will betray me. And Judas collected the bread and ate it. The Bible says, and Satan entered him. The consistency of his action compelled the spirit entity responsible for that manifestation to partner with him. I know the day the spirit of wisdom came upon my life. I know by consistently activating the laws and the principles that guarantee that dimension, one day the spirit of wisdom enveloped me and I said, that's it. I hope you can catch this. That's why when Jesus was behaving in a particular way on the earth, Moses appeared to him, Elijah appeared to him, the law and the prophet, because he was behaving in a way that showed he wanted to introduce a new dimension of God to humanity, grace. So those who had previously walked in that dimension were available to partner with him. I pray you catch this. So a man who will walk in extraordinary results is a man who has mastered the art
of using laws, principles, consistent thought and consistent action to engage the spirit component of that reality that he seeks. So when I'm studying and I'm reading what Solomon did, I'm saying, can the wisdom of Solomon rest upon me? And the Bible says, we have in so great a cloud of witnesses. Solomon is watching. When I'm studying what he did, when I'm studying Job, the Bible says they are watching. And they say, oh God, can our mantle fall on this guy? Worshippers, if you catch this, there are mantles. That's why Dab sang one day, mantles have been given to the church. Anointings have been given to the church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? These mantles are hanging. That's why Jesus was saying that this John the Baptist you are seeing, if you can bear it, this is not John, this is Elijah. If you can bear it, this guy you are seeing that you are calling John the Baptist, he is actually Elijah. Watch this. It's not reincarnation. He's saying the dimension of God committed to Elijah to reveal to humanity, the only person that caught it was John the Baptist. Remember, Elijah gave it to Elisha. Give me a double portion of your spirit. Say, if you can see me when I am taken up, you will have it. It's a hard thing. But if you can fulfill the requirements, the mantle of a father can drop on you. If the mantle of that father drops on you, extraordinary results will follow you. Remember how that apostle was teaching one day? He said when God wanted to show him a typography of his ministry, God showed him late Dr. Miles Monroe, and God showed him another servant of God. They are mantles. Men are not ordinary. That's what we call covenant of the fathers. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you behave in a particular way, indicating your interest to have that mantle fall on you. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Listen to me. I will just share this little secret. I don't know if I've ever said it. I remember when, I think it was 2008, and Apostle was telling us that time that he wants to know the mystery of crowd. Are you listening? This thing that they call crowd, multitude. Among several other things he did that I may not know of, I know one thing that he did. Apostle went and bought all the books of Dr. Yonggi Cho. I was his flatmate for close to 2 years. Every night, Apostle would run the gym overnight, reading all of his materials. One day, Apostle just jumped up, just said, I've gotten it. He said, I've gotten the secret to crowd. Did he get it or did he not? Say covenant of fathers. So the covenant of a father of faith can walk over your life, and the covenant of a father of ancestry and territory, which are usually diabolic, can walk over your life. The third type of covenants are what we call personal covenants. Personal covenants. Personal covenant. Genesis chapter 28, 18 to 20. Genesis 31, verse 13. Personal covenants. Watch this. Okay, let's look at verse 19 and then we'll pray.
call the name of Bethel. Last verse. Verse 20 now.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. What's the next thing he said? He says, then will I come back, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Next verse. And this stone which I set for a pillar, he now says, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give you a tithe. So those of you that are still saying whether tithing is Old Testament or New Testament, tithing is proof of covenant. God later reminded him of this in Genesis 31 verse 13. How do you get extraordinary results? You invoke covenants. You live according to laws, principles, statutes that enforce those covenants. Next verse. Genesis 31 verse 13. This is the prayer that I wanted to pray, and I needed you to understand it so that you will know how to pray it. 31 and verse 13. Genesis 31, 13. Genesis 31, 13. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and vowed a vow. Do you see that God remembered it? Do you see that God remembered it? So, personal covenant. So, number one, perpetual or creative covenants, creation covenants. Number two, covenants of the fathers, fathers of faith in Bible and even those who are still alive now. And then, diabolic covenants of fathers of ancestry and territory. And then, personal covenants. And then lastly, new covenant in Christ. The new covenant in Christ. You must have a thorough understanding of this. So the prayer point that I wanted us to pray, because God was showing me that there are certain people who have been impeded because of their inability to recognize and break diabolic covenants, but more importantly, to engage their new covenant in Christ and make personal covenants with God. Every single person under the sound of my voice, I'm praying. Baroko toshkete belegete boshata. Under the influence, negative influence of the covenant of fathers of territory, fathers of ancestry. We have just come out of a month of deliverance. By the mercy of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we command those covenants nullified in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Resting upon the apostolic covenant of this commission, the covenant that Apostle Joshua Selman enjoys with God, the covenant of every father of faith that we honor in this commission, I decree over your life, as the fathers rise, so you will rise in the name of Jesus. We invoke every covenant of creation that God Himself has made with creation. I decree over your lives, as the sun rises in the morning, you are blessed. As the moon shines in the evening, you are blessed. As long as the earth remains, every seed you have ever sown, seed of honor, seed of money, seed of sacrifice that is yet to produce a harvest, I invoke the covenant of the earth. Let your harvest locate you in the name of Jesus. Go and prosper. Go and prosper. And lastly, I place a demand of the new covenant in Christ Jesus.
The sure and the living way, the most excellent covenant. We come to the cross. Every spirit fighting what Jesus did in your life, let the cross of Jesus judge them. In the name of Jesus, you possess everything Jesus died for. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes you are healed. Experience extraordinary health. In the name of Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. I invoke the covenant of prosperity that Jesus ratified on the cross. Because Jesus is rich, you will never know lack. I banish poverty from your life from today in the name of Jesus. We are at the foot of the cross. If Jesus died for it, that means it should be in your life. I command every ordinance speaking against your prosperity, speaking against your rising, speaking against your promotion, I face them with the cross of Jesus. Experience total emancipation. I repeat, everything Jesus died for and paid for with the blood of his new covenant, it enters your life now, experientially, in the name of Jesus. Go and prosper. Go and prosper. Go and prosper. Main auditorium, go and prosper. Overflow one, go and prosper. Overflow two, by this prophetic word, go and prosper. Overflow three, go and prosper. Online community, go and prosper. Elohim Adonai,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give Jesus praise.
Elohim Adonai,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
Precious saints, the most extraordinary thing that can happen in the life of a man is for that man to receive new birth. You are here today and you are yet to surrender your life to Jesus. Please, no moving around. You are yet to give your life to Christ. You have not loved him enough to hand over your life to him. But tonight you want to make that decision and surrender your life to Jesus and make him your extraordinary Lord and Savior. I want you to run to the front very quickly. Overflow one, overflow two. Make your way to the altar right now and give your life to Christ. Or you have given your life to Christ before, but you know that your ways are not pleasing to the Lord, and you want to surrender afresh to him. Please put your hands together for them as they make their way forward. Run, run, run. Jesus is calling you. He wants to make your life extraordinary. If you are in overflow three, just make your way to the projector as I lead you to Christ. If you are following us online, please just prayerfully listen and I will lead you to Christ. Hurry up and make this decision. Run and surrender your life to Jesus today. He loves you. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to use you for his glory. You want to give your life to Christ? Run. Make your way very quickly to the front as I lead you to Christ. Very quickly, very quickly. There has to be more. Some people want to give their lives to Christ.
Make your way very quickly to the front as I lead you to Christ. Very quickly, I'm still waiting for you. Run to the front and come and surrender all to Christ. Listen to me, those of you that are here in front, and those of you who are in Overflow 3, and those of you who may be following online. Jesus loves you. If he could change the life of Mary Magdalene from a harlot into a woman of God, there's nothing he can't do with you. Very quickly, Zekote Valikatesh Kataya. Look at me, I want you to know that God loves you and he's willing to make your life brand new. Make your life brand new. So say after me, say, Lord Jesus, tonight I come boldly before your throne. I come to access mercy. I come to access grace. I confess that I'm a sinner. My past is sinful. But I confess tonight that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died for me. You rose again on my behalf. Your blood makes me clean. And Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Use me for your glory. Change me. Transform me. And use me. And so, Lord, I pray for your children. They have come to the foot of the cross to surrender all. And I decree that your sacrifice in their lives finds expression. I confess over their lives today that they are born again. Their sins are forgiven. Your spirit is alive and at work in them. They are born again. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, let's celebrate this new combat in Christ. You can stand to your feet and just look behind. You see a gentleman waving his hand. I want you to follow him very quickly, and then they will take it from there. Please, let's celebrate this. Ones who are surrendering their lives to Christ afresh. Hallelujah.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate.